glory. How our Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing out there the song of victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You never know what you can do until you try. Now, if that's their first, I hope it's not their last. Keep going on. Now, it's so nice to be back home again after 4 months. But we're enjoying it fine down where we are. The only thing, we're missing all the young folks, the children. No children where we are. They try to have a Sunday school. I think they've got 6 in it. Folks who bring their children in from the area. But it's all old folks down where I am. Old folks. So you miss the young folks. And it's nice to be back here and see you all looking so well on this Mother's Day. But let me say this, that I hope as many as possible will be here next Sunday to encourage. Man gives me a signal, I forgot to put this thing on. Oh, yes. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little louder now. Next week, Dr. James Naismith is coming here I hope as many people as possible will attend the meetings while he's here, not only on Sunday, but for the next during the week. Don't miss it. I have known Dr. Naismith now for well over 50 years. I remember when he was just in his studies, before that he qualified. His father was a missionary for many years in India, faithful man. His grandfather was a good old Christian man. He's got two brothers who are outstanding preachers as well. And when I was home in Scotland last August, I had the privilege of listening to one of his nephews, who also is preaching. So he comes from a preaching family, and he's well worth hearing. He'll bring you some good ministry. Mr. James Naismith, living now in Canada, practiced as a doctor for many years over in Scotland. I want you this morning to open your Bibles at the second book of Kings, chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the second book of Kings. We'll commence our reading right down there, not at the beginning of the chapter, but at verse 6, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. I want you ladies to take special note of that. Came to this place called Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he tarried into the chamber, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, that's to Gehazi, say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. When he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass, said to her servant, "Drive, go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. It came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. The Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and lay upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. When she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Trust the Lord and bless to us the reading of these verses. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank thee for this occasion when we can meet in peace and in quietness, and with all due reverence read thy word and hear what thou hast to say to us. May thy blessing rest upon each one who is present here today. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen. A great woman. I wonder, what would you suggest makes a woman great? Of course, some go into politics, and they make a great name for themselves in politics. You see, what women? Yeah. What about Maggie Thatcher? She became the first woman to be the Prime Minister of Great Britain and lived for a number of years in 10 Downing Street. She's not there now, of course, she got thrown out, but nevertheless, she made her name in politics. And there are others who have made their name in the musical world. Great singers. Great women. But I wonder, what was it, do you think, made this woman of Shunem a great woman? Now, I believe she's a great woman. The Word of God says so. The Prophet of God said so. A great woman. As I read down this passage again and again, I read it, I come to the conclusion that she was great amongst her neighbors because she was a woman of some position and some possession. It may have been her possessions that gave her her position. Now, how do I know that she was a woman of possessions? Well, first of all, her husband had land. He was a farmer, it's obvious, and he had servants. Now, any man who can afford to have servants must have the means to have them. Not only so, she had a house, which must have been quite a favorable size, because she was able to accommodate this man when he came back and forward. She said to her husband, look, we ought to build a special extension onto the house. Let us build a new room. Some of you know, when you go to extend your house and build a new bit on, it calls for a lot of work and perhaps a lot of money to build on. But here she was going to have a new room built onto your house for one special reason, that when Elisha the man of God came to and fro, journeying from Samaria up to Mount Carmel, for that seemed to be the circuit in which he went, she said, now, when he comes here, he won't require to come and knock the door and come in. We'll give him an entrance for himself, but we'll build this right on the wall. And there'll be an entrance to it, suppose, to let him in, and he can rest there when he likes, as long as he wants to wait when he's passing through. So I suggest to you, from these ideas, her husband and her were well off, yeah, according to things in that day. And here she was, and she wanted to expend herself, so to speak, to do something for the man of God, a great woman. It suggests to me, of course, also, that she was a woman of spirituality. And may I suggest to all in here today that that is the real thing which makes people great. Some people think they're great because they have reached a high position in their business. Or some who go into politics and they're so long up in Washington and so on, that they've become great people. The name, everybody knows them. Or it may be some people have a great name because of exploits in the army. They become perhaps a general and so on, commander. But spirituality is the thing that really counts when it comes to greatness. And I suggest this woman also had a great spiritual perception. She said to her husband one day, this man that's been coming back and forward and visiting us, I perceive that he is a holy man of God. Now you stop when you read a thing like that. How did this woman come to the conclusion that Elisha was a holy man of God? Now I guarantee this. She didn't come to that conclusion because of how he was dressed. You've gone into places, and so have I, and you've seen men dressed up in rather peculiar robes. I remember being in the city of Dublin on one occasion and saw a fellow coming shuffling along the street there. He had a thing wrapped round him like a great big brown army blanket. That's what it looked like to me, from his neck down to his heels, and tied with a piece of rope round the middle. And I looked at his feet. Well, I wouldn't have been seen with him on. I'd rather go on my bare feet than what he had tied round about his feet. How long he had worn them, I don't know. Then he had a little brown cowl round about his head. You couldn't miss seeing him in the crowd, you know. He stood out like a sore thumb. Holy man of God, was he? I don't think so. He may have dressed himself up like that, but to me it didn't make him holy to be dressed like that. Now suppose I took this collar of mine and I turned it around the opposite way. I've often wondered when I see those fellows with a collar, how they get them on their neck. But, you know, you see them with a collar around this way and dressed up like an old woman with black robes the way down to their heels. And so, that doesn't impress me one little bit. I said to one of them one day, at a wedding, he said, how did you ever get into a mess like this? See, we hadn't seen each other for years. I knew him when he was a young fellow in his teens. And then here he was all dressed up like an old woman. Now that doesn't make a man holy. to be dressed up with the clerical robes, as some of them call them, or men of the cloth. That doesn't make them holy. A man could be dressed just normal. But how do you decide that a man is a holy man of God? She watched him as he walked to and fro. And she said to her husband, "That is a holy man of God." Here was a woman of spiritual perception. You know, when you begin to study the life of some of the disciples of the Lord, you find that out from amongst the whole 12 of them who were called apostles, that John was the man who had the perception all the time. Do you remember when they were afraid, when they were in the boat? And the Lord came walking to them on the waves, and they thought that was a spirit, a ghost. John says, "Look, it's the Lord." He perceived it was the Lord. How? Well, you remember John was the one who was always nearest the Lord. Even when they sat down at the table, he was always the one leaning against the Lord. He lived so near the Lord that he knew him when he was coming there walking on the waves. He perceived it was the Lord. I wonder, how do you recognize people as being Christians? Because they say they are? Or if you work beside them, or you live beside them, isn't it their manner of life, the way they conduct themselves, that's what's known in the scriptures as the walk of the person. How we conduct ourselves, how we walk before others, not the way, you know, I'm not talking about those who walk around with such pride, that's not the idea. It's the manner of life, the walk of the person that decides what they are, how they conduct themselves. She says, that is a holy man of God. She was a woman of spiritual perception. But then again, coming to that little room that she built, here she was a woman now who wanted to provide something for this man. But it was a very simple provision. She didn't build him a palace. She didn't get all the finest furniture she could get to put in and say, "We must have the finest furniture for this man of God that's come along." No, no. "We shall build a little room just on the wall, just at the side, where he can come in when he likes and rest. And in that room, we'll put a bed." A bed? Why? Because the man will need some rest. Rest. Now, every one of us needs to have rest. It's one of the things that's difficult for some people to come to grips with today. Everybody's rushing around at such a speed. How quick can you get from here to there and so on? And you see the traffic now. I can remember the day when it was easy to walk across some of these roads here, but now you have to be very careful when you go over or where you cross over. There's so much traffic. Everybody in a rush, jostling against each other in the highway. Rest. The Lord says, "Come you yourselves apart and rest a while." Old A.P. Gibbs used to say, if you don't come apart to rest, you'll come apart. And how true that is, if you don't get rest. But what about spiritual rest? A bed speaks of rest. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is supposed to be Mother's Day. Mothers, do you take time to rest? You see, well, if you were in our house, you wouldn't find time to rest. You've got to take time to rest. She put a bed in the room, a bed for rest. When I think of rest, I'm wondering if there's anyone in here today at this service who has never experienced the rest that Christ can give. Rest of conscience. Rest from worry. Rest. Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while, he said to the disciples. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She says, we'll put in there a bed, and we'll put a table. A table? What's a table for? Isn't it for refreshment? Isn't that what you serve up for dinner or tea time or breakfast? You serve, you dress up the table. There's the food. It's for refreshment. And I wonder how many of us realize that spiritually we need spiritual refreshment. He says, if you hunger, come unto me. I will give you the bread of life. If you're thirsty, well, I will give you the water of life. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So while it's a normal thing for us to have something to eat and something to drink, you may have your choice, of course, as to what you're going to drink. Having tried all the others, there's some folk always come back to the original and they say, I'll just do with water. But others like fancy stuff. It's got to be a fancy color. They'll take it from a pale, pale color, right to real dark coffee, as black as could be, you know what I mean? And all the shades in between, all the different things you drink. But then, you need something to drink. As long as you keep off the alcohol, don't drink it. It's like there's a serpent at the bottom of every glass of that, you know. But a table is for refreshment. Something to eat, something to drink. Maybe simple. Spiritually, there's got to be refreshment. You've got to be refreshed. How can you be refreshed? Well, surely you have a Bible in the house. Now, may I challenge you? How far have you read through the Bible this year? I know some people that read quite a lot, perhaps a lot more than I do. And others, they study it a lot. I started reading in Genesis just in the middle of January, just the time I left here. And now into Philippians. Last year I got through it twice, and I'm hoping I'll do that again if the Lord spares me this year. What? Why? Because this is food for the soul. You eat the bread of life. Read the word. Masticate it. Meditate upon it. She says, we'll put a table. You'll have refreshment. And she says, we'll put a stool there. You know, some of us like big fancy chairs. Well, here is a stool where he could sit down. And then she says, he'll need a light. So we'll put a little lampstand there, or a candlestick, whatever you like to call it. He'll need a light. You don't walk around in the darkness. The Lord said, he is the light of the world. Follow him. That's what she says we'll put in this simple little room. A bed, a table, a stool, and a light. That was the furnishings, which suggests to me that was a good provision, but it was a very simple provision. Here was a woman then who was given to hospitality. She was a great woman, given to hospitality. But she also was a very humble woman, in spite of the fact that her husband owned a farm and he had his servants. She herself was very humble. She was a great woman. I wonder today how many great women in the world's estimation would be humble women. You see, whenever they get some kind of position in the world, they get carried away with pride, most of them. But here this woman, while she could have been proud of her position, she wasn't. she remained very humble, and yet she showed a great amount of hospitality. But then there comes something else that would touch all our hearts. She faced one day a very sorrowful problem. Now, says Elisha, as it were, we must do something for this woman. She's been so kind to us. Called her in one day. She stood at the door of the room. He says, now look, I would like to do something for you in return for what you've done for me. Would you like me to speak to the king on your behalf?
No.
How would you like me to speak to the captain of the host on your behalf?
No.
I just dwell with my own people. Oh, she expressed the humility again. She just dwelt amongst her own people. Very humble. She didn't try to get above her own people. She was just with her own people. But Gehazi, the servant, Elisha said, there's one thing you can do for her. She's got no family. She hasn't got a child. All right, said, at this time, such and such a time next year, you'll have a child. Now, it's a strange thing, and I suggest this to you, if you care to study it at home, don't do it now. If you start reading at the beginning of this chapter, you read of another woman who had two boys, but she had no husband. She was a widow, left with two boys, and she was in absolute poverty. All she had left was a little oil. That's all she had left in the house, a little oil. And Elisha was there, and through his instrumentality, that oil was multiplied until she was able to pay off all her debts. Poor widow. But this one here is not a widow. She's married. She's a good husband, rich man. But, alas, no family. It seemed that the blessing of the Lord in that connection had been withheld from her. But now she's going to have a son. And the little fellow was born. Oh, the joy it would bring to that house when they had a little boy. They would rejoice at him. But in spite of the fact that she may have looked after him well, the day came when something struck him. Out in the field, he's crying, my head, my head. His father said to one of the servants, take him back to his mother. Isn't that a strange thing? When you were a child and anything went wrong, maybe a very simple thing, but you got a little cut or something, a scratch, or you fell and skinned your knees or something, where did you go? You ran to mother. Mother was usually in the house anyway. And you got there and she was the one that attended to it. She got the sponge and sponged it down and put something on it and so on. Run to mother when there's anything wrong. Take him to his mother. He sat on his mother's knee to midday that day and then died. Here's a woman who had met a great sorrow. Sorrowful problem. What did she do? Well, the only thing she could do was turn from the man of God. I wonder, when you and I are faced with problems today, where do we take them? Do we run to the lawyer? Do we run to the doctor? Or do we take our problem to God? You see, well, how do you take your problem to God? On your knees? On your knees before the Lord? Spread out the whole problem to him? And perhaps you'll get the answer much quicker than you expected. She ran for the man of God. And when Gehazi, way up on Mount Carmel, was sent by his master, Elisha said, go on, Gehazi, run ahead. Look, that's that great woman, that Shunammite that's coming there. I can tell that this is. Run to her. Run to her. And say, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? She has a problem, all right, And the questions are sent to, is it well with thee? Now, I've mentioned this here away many years ago, I suppose, but now I'll mention it again. Is it well with thee? That's a question to a woman as a woman. Is it well with thy husband? That's a question to a woman when she's a wife. Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? That's a woman as a mother. You see, there's a lot of women who are not wives. They've never been married. But when they get married, they've got the husband. Is it well with the husband? And then when the children arrive, is it well with the child? Now let's apply that to ourselves today, particularly to all those who are in here. Is it well with thee? Well, what does that mean? Well, are you in a true relationship with your God? Do you know your God? Is it well with thee? Could you sing from the heart today, it is well with my soul? Could you? Is it well with thee? But if you're married, is it well with thy husband? Does your husband know the Lord? Or does he not? Is it well with thy husband? Young folks, when it comes to a time of marriage, make sure that the both of you know the Lord. Otherwise, it's an unequal yoke. And an unequal yoke is always an uneasy yoke. Is it well with a child? A woman is a mother. Mothers. You have the greatest mission field in this world, in your own home. The greatest mission field in which you can labor. Is it well for the children? Is it? I have known a great number of people who have broken hearts, all because of the actions of some of their children. There have been disappointments to them. Is it well? Is it well with the child? She said, it is well. I sometimes wonder why she said that, because now the little fellow had died. And on the other hand, is it possible that this woman realized that it was in the hands of God, and if everything is in the hands of the Lord, it's well. We put ourselves in the hands of the Lord, and it's well with us. But what about the other? What a joy it must be for parents when they see their children grow up, reach the stage where they make the decision for the Lord, and live to prove it with the manner of life that they live. I ask you this morning, is it well with thee? Are you saved? When did you trust the Lord? If you've never trusted the Lord, it's not well. Is it well with your husband? If not, do you still pray for him? Don't nag him, but you can speak to him. Or it may be it's the husband that's saved and the wife isn't. Is it well with her? Is it well with the mother? Is it well with thee? I want you to ponder that as we close this meeting. Perhaps you've got your problems, mothers. Work on it, pray on it. What a joy it will be for you when you see your sons and your daughters going on for the Lord. A great woman. A great woman with her perception. A great woman when she got the answer to her problems. For she got her little fellow back again in newness of life. And would rejoice with them in the home. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this morning service and for these little ones who have been reminded this morning to honor their parents. And what would home be without a mother? Oh God, remember every home represented here at this service. Some are facing problems that others of us know nothing about. We commit and commend them all to thee now, asking that in the Lord's precious name they shall be blessed this day. We give thee all the glory in the Lord's own worthy name. Amen. Let us sing 2.